Arizona, and more specifically the Valley, are on the cusp of significant decisions and changes related to water usage. A drought contingency plan is on the horizon, as is a Colorado River shortage declaration. Last week on the show, I spoke with Joanna Allhands of the Arizona Republic about some of her ideas for preventing a water crisis in the state. She listed several things we should do, but wasn't overly optimistic about action being taken rapidly.
We're doing things kind of going backwards. There is not any sort of consensus on a drought contingency plan for Lake Mead. We're not there yet. There are some things that are really going to have to take a lot of really global, statewide thinking. And unfortunately, a lot of our leaders are looking very parochially. And that is not what's going to lead us out of this.
To follow up on what Allhands and I talked about, we invited two water experts in. Dave White is director of ASU's Decision Center for a Desert City, and Ray Quay is director of engagement there. Dave, let me start with you. The state of Arizona has been credited with having a vision when it comes to water banking and other storage, but where are we in terms of what the individual consumer may need to change about water usage?
Well, I would say the state, as you mentioned, has been progressive in its approach to conservation over the last three decades. And because of that, and because of our successes in conservation, there have been relatively few impacts to individual consumers, to homeowners, to businesses, to farmers even. As we move forward and we anticipate the kinds of challenges that we will face with the potential for a declaration of shortage on the Colorado River, as the impacts of climate change materialize, we will begin to see the need for additional water conservation and additional behavior changes among all sectors of society, including residents.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the differences between water conservation and restrictions that we may have to experience during that is that restrictions can be very draconian as long as people see them as being short term. If they become, people view them as being long term, then they begin to affect their concepts of quality of life and they could affect the economy. So we like to distinguish between what you have to do during a restriction and what you do with conservation. Conservation is something you fold into your quality of life and you fold into the economy over a long period of time.
So how much of this comes down to whether people feel as though they're able to make the choice themselves or whether it's being forced upon them?
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think it's important for policymakers and for those of us in the professional class to communicate to the public the rationale for conservation measures, whether they be measures that are long-term parts of our planning and strategy or they're short-term responses to drought or other crises.
Recent survey of the general public in the Phoenix area. First, just in terms of general attitude, coming back to that question, which I think is a key one, do people seem like they're prepared for changes? Do they know enough about potential shortages to say, yes, I may be willing to make those changes voluntarily?
Yes, and so at Decision Center for a Desert City, we recently conducted a random sample survey of residents of the Phoenix metropolitan region. And the results indicated that people saw the need for some significant changes to our water management strategies over the long term to ensure broad-based sustainability. And it was somewhat surprising to see that residents understood that there is a need for change, and they supported several strategies that we could implement to help bring about that transition.
And what were some of those key strategies that seem to make sense?
And so specifically, we found significant levels of support for people becoming more involved in participating in their water management decisions. We saw more than 70% of the respondents supported, for example, gathering and storing rainwater to irrigate landscaping. We saw a somewhat surprising level of support. More than 40% of the participants in our survey supported wastewater being treated to meet drinking quality standards and delivered directly to residents. And so this recycling and direct reuse of effluent is a surprising trend. The level of support was surprising to us.
You two are not PR professionals, but does the term wastewater need to change its name in order to get more acceptance?
Well, I think we need to focus on the right quality of water for the right purpose. Right? And so recycling water and reusing that water, we just need to focus on what's the quality of that water for the purpose. And so we can clean water to a specific quality to use for non-food agriculture. Mm-hmm. We can clean water to a different quality to use for cooling the nuclear power plant. And if we want to clean water to the highest quality for drinking water, we can do that. We have the technology to do that. The question is really just about the cost and the necessity.
There's been more efficiency in terms of the water usage around the valley. Are we at a point where efficiency and getting more efficient can help, Or once we get to a point of needing to make changes, it can no longer be done technologically. It's going to have to be done individuals, communities having to take place.
Well, most of the water efficiency that we've increased over the last few years has been in indoor water use. And that's been the technology that you're talking about. I mean, everybody participates in that today. You can't buy an inefficient toilet or a shower head. And really the issue is just penetration of how we're going to get to the older appliances that are inefficient over time. And that is a technology issue. But the other realm is outdoor water use. And we have not seen as significant efficiency increases in outdoor as we have seen for indoor. And that's really going to be more of a value-based issue, less of a technology issue. So people are going to have to decide, how much lawn do I really need, and what do I use it for, and what can I get rid of, and what do I actually have? Do I need misters to cool on my porch time? Do I need a pool? These are all real value issues. They're not really technology. Mm-hmm. And so as we move forward and we're focused on increasing efficiency over the head, these issues of values about how we use outdoor water are going to become very important.
Is everyone going to have to make some sort of sacrifice or compromise? Based on this, how the drought cycle, what has happened, and the Colorado River Compact, the drought contingency plan, all these things, are we going to see dramatic changes, and are they going to be gradual or, again, fairly dramatic immediately?
Well, I think the first answer is yes. Everyone needs to participate in this process across all sectors of society, across residential, industrial, and agricultural. We are adapting to a new normal. The drought has lasted now nearly two decades. It's the deepest drought in the observed historical record. All of the drying that we're seeing and the increases in temperature are entirely consistent with the projections that we have for the impacts of global climate change. And so I do believe that we will have to make more significant interventions in our system to go along with the incremental changes that we've been making over the last several decades.
You know, when we experience reductions on the Colorado River water, it will not occur equally for everybody over a short period of time. Different people will be affected at different points in time, and agriculture will be one of the first to be affected. And they will lose their surface water rights for some time period while we're experiencing these droughts. Some of them will switch to groundwater, which will increase the cost of water, which will increase the cost of the farm goods, which will change the business structure that they have. Some won't have any choices, and they'll have to move farming to other locations. So there will be fairly quick changes that will occur within agriculture when we experience those restrictions.
Is there a philosophical view of what the average person thinks about water in the valley and how that is going to change? It's almost like water is our constant companion now. We can sort of do with it what we want within reason, but how is that going to change how we see it, and how important is that to have a different sort of vision for it?
Well, I would say, first of all, that residents in this valley, by and large, are more aware of water issues than residents in other locations around the country, because water is a scarce and precious resource in this region, and people are simply more aware of the value of water to support all of the benefits to their communities, from the economy to the environment to their recreation spaces. So I think there's an underlying awareness of water. One of the findings in our survey research study also showed that the greater a person's environmental value orientation, the more likely they were to support improvements and strategies to transform our water system to be more sustainable. And so it's one of the things that we can focus on is raising awareness about environmental values and environmental orientations among the public, because we believe that would then lead to greater levels of public support for improvements.
So Ray, does the philosophical attitude then blend in with the practical? So if you realize the importance of the issue, you're more bound to do practical things in, as we started with our conversation, in a way that makes sense for your lifestyle.
Yeah, now that water conservation is going to be discussing more about people's values and how do they value the water for the quality of life or the economy, understanding that they have this underlying concept about personal responsibility is going to make it easier for us to talk to them about those values. And they have to make the choices. And some people may say, well, I'm keeping my misters, but I'm getting rid of the pool. Some say, I need my turf, but I can get rid of the pool. Everybody will make value judgments on their own. And knowing that they have these underlying philosophical concepts will help us be able to deal with them in terms of making them, help them understand how those values affect themselves.
Dave White, Ray Quay of ASU's Decision Center for a Desert City. Guys, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.